Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, this is Jesse Andrew from Emperors and Elephants, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Jason Moyt from Emperors and Elephants. You are listening to the only station that counts, Talking Metal. I love it. Bring it.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel, and you're listening to another edition of Talking Metal. We have Jason and Jesse from the band Emperors and Elephants on the show today. Great band. I highly recommend you check them out. We're going to have them linked in today's show notes. And I want to remind you, we are still accepting the year-end donations here on Talking Metal. We would love a PayPal donation from you. Go to talkingmetal.com, use that PayPal tab to make a donation and show your support here at the end of the year. And once we get into January, I will shut up about the PayPal donation for a little while. But I know some of you guys like to do the PayPal donations at the end of the year. And although our listenership is way up this year, even more than last year, the PayPal donations are a lot less than they were last year. So I would just love a couple more from you guys. If there's anybody out there who can swing a little money into the PayPal account, it is encouraging to always get the support direct from the listeners. So consider that. And now let's get into the episode. I'm hanging here the day after Christmas in my house, getting ready for a trip to Indiana. This is Hatriot. Steve Zetro and his sons, Your Worst Enemy.
We'll be right back. Grant, come here. Grant!
Hey, what you just heard was Zetro and his kids playing the band with him. I think that's awesome. Zetro, known for his work with Exodus and Testament. What you just heard right there was Hatriot. The song was Your Worst Enemy. I'm sitting here with my two sons,
Gaga,
coincidentally.
Gaga,
okay,
Gaga.
Okay. Talk to the people. What do you want to say? Can you say Happy New Year?
Happy New Year. That's... Happy New Year to you.
What's your name? Tell them what your name is.
Granty Head.
Granty Head. Grant Striegel, he's four, and my oldest son, who was sick for a little while, but he's feeling better now. Come in here. Say hi to the people. Oh, he's getting a little shy. His name is Harrison, and he is hanging with me, too. Oh, he says he's 0%. I'm not sure what that means. But anyways, let's get into a little Betty Blowtorch right now on Talking Metal.
He knows in his six.
Yeah.
What you just heard was Hell on Wheels by Betty Blowtorch, a great band. We actually, a band of mine, played a gig.
Honk, honk.
Say, that was Betty Blowtorch. Come here. Come up to the mic. Say, that was Betty Blowtorch.
That was Betty Blowtorch.
What you just heard, as Grant said, was Betty Blowtorch here on Talking Metal. Once played a gig with those guys. I know one of the women in the band actually died in a car wreck. It was kind of tragic, maybe a year or two after I played a gig with them. So anyways, Betty Blowtorch, that was off the album Are You Man Enough? And just a reminder, we do have an interview with Jesse and Jason from Emperors and Elephants coming up in just a bit. This is Believers of the Day by Lynch Mob, an album that I got for Christmas. The album is Sun Red Sun. And again, I got it for Christmas yesterday from my mom. Lynch Mob, the brand new Lynch Mob, Believers of the Day is the name of this track.
You can play that part of Messiah.
Little Lynch Mob on Talking Metal. I was hoping to record a podcast with John today. I was got a text from him. I've literally gotten one text from him since the opening night of the Ace Frehley show, and it was yesterday, late last night. He said he would do a podcast at any time today, and then I texted him this morning and never heard back. So that's that. Would love to bring him back into the Talking Metal fold. He's obviously at an all-time low. If you thought his involvement in the show couldn't be any less, guess what? It is basically non-existent at this point. So we'd love to hear from John. Hopefully we can get him back on Talking Metal soon and get him back into the swing of things. I have no idea what's going on with him, really. I saw him and helped him out on the first night of the Ace Tour in New Brunswick, New Jersey, which was, you know, going on a month ago at this point, and I have not seen or heard from him since, except for one or maybe two texts, and want to hear from him. So I'm hoping we can get him back on Talking Metal. I want to remind you about my other podcast. It's called Metal Raps. It's with Mitch LaFon and Mitch Joel. Check it out on iTunes. Subscribe to it. And right now, let's get into a little Fishbone.
We'll be right back.
a little Black Flowers by Fishbone here on Talking Metal. Let's keep the music going and then we'll hit our interview. This is Goat Whore. What you heard was from 2006, I believe. I'm not positive. I think so. A little Goat Whore here on Talking Metal. Right now, Who You Are by Emperors and Elephants, followed by my interview with two members of the band.
Parasites cast aside, 'cause I'm ready for war.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and on the line we have Jesse and Jason from Emperors and Elephants. Thanks for calling in, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Good, thank you.
So you guys are calling in from the Chicagoland area?
Yeah, we're out of Chicago, yeah. Very cold.
Well, anytime I have anybody from that area of the country on the phone, I have to ask them exactly where, because I did go to junior high and high school in Hinsdale, Illinois. Are you guys anywhere close to that town?
I'm not sure. Hinsdale?
Yeah, it's like a suburb. It's almost due south. I think it's slightly southeast of the city.
No, we're more like northwest suburbs. You know, like Elgin, Waukegan, you know, Round Lake, stuff like that. But, no, I can't say that we're from there.
All right. Well, let's talk about the band. For the listeners who may not be familiar with you guys, can we talk a little bit about the history of Emperors and Elephants, how you guys came together, and just take us through, you know, maybe a 2 to 3 minute history of the band, if you will.
Jesse, you want to take that one?
Yeah. I'm going to cram it into two, 3 minutes. Okay, so bullet points. Jeff is our guitar player, one of the guitar players, and they've been, you know, friends for 20-plus years, and so they got together after a few years of not playing, and they decided to kind of rekindle things and start a project back up, and they came up with the name, and they got a good buddy of theirs, Ron Vanders, from just kind of local area. You know, Jason had seen him a bunch, and Jeff had seen him a bunch, and they just knew that he had the chops they were looking for. So they asked him to join, and you know, he thought it was a cool thing, and got on board. And then Jason was at a random bar, and I playing with a local band that I'd been playing with for about a year, and you know, he just always kind of says it that it was a dive bar and dive PA and, you know, a good voice. So
right.
He kind of approached me afterwards and wined and dined me with the Incubus ticket, and told me that he thought it was a good band, but that his band was probably better.
Right.
And everyone says that, you know, everyone thinks they're like the greatest band in the world. But then I went and heard their music and I was like, oh, okay. So we just kind of got together and started playing, and it all just clicked. And that's like the number one most important thing. So we kind of did that for a while. And then about a year into it of just kind of playing around, having fun, playing shows and writing some songs, Randy Cooper from the Texas 50 Coalition gave us a call, or actually gave Jason a call, and just said, hey, I'm in your city. I don't want to go anywhere else, and I want to be in your band. And, you know, I was blown away. Like, I was a fan of Texas 50 Coalition before that, and I'd seen Randy a bunch. And I had met him and played with him actually a few times, and everything was just, it was perfect. So we got the the final lineup, you know, and it's been like that for a steady almost 3 years now. So
wow. Now, when you guys first got together, you know, and you're playing, you mentioned you started writing a little later on. What are you doing? Are you just jamming like riffs and stuff, or are you playing covers? What happens when you guys first get together musically?
This is Jason. When we first got together, Jeff and I, like Jesse was saying, Jeff and I were in a previous band together, and him and I did all the writing in the band, so there was really no one else credited other than us two. And it's kind of funny because there's songs on there that I'll say that we wrote 2-3 years prior to knowing Jesse, but they needed to have Jesse's vocals and lyrics on there to have those songs complete. We played them before, but like when Jesse came in the band, we never played the full song of prior music that Jeff and I had. We just played the guitar parts and drums and some sequencing. And once Jesse got his hands on it, that's where I'm like, okay, these songs are completed. So there was a good majority like that. Now Jesse also brought songs that he wrote, like one of our bigger songs called "Hit a Red" on the album, right. And he brought that to the table. And that, you know, that's one of that goes over great every night. So that was his. And then we actually collaborated. There was probably like maybe three other songs on the album that we actually, as a band, we sat down and we did it fully together. But like all those songs, even though they were pre-written in past bands, they fully did not come full circle until the five of us were together in the studio, in the practice spot, taking it to stage to make it, you know, to make it what it is.
If you were to hear some of the songs Jason's talking about, like before it was an Emperor song, like you would be able to hear little like maybe sequences and riffs, like parts that turned into Emperor songs, but they were almost like a collection of ideas that I brought and that Jason and Jeff brought, and we kind of like even Hit of Red and like Locust, some of the songs that I brought, those songs sound so different before Jeff and Jason got their hands on them.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know, you would be able to recognize like, you know, fragments of the songs, but I think that the songs fully became what they should have been the whole time once we became a band.
I got you. And Jesse, as a vocalist, who influenced you?
That's a loaded question. You know, for me, I could talk about this for 20 years. I would say vocally, you know, Lane Staley, Eddie Vedder, and I would say Justin Furstenfeld from Blue October. That guy blows my mind. So yeah, that'd be those three.
Cool.
You know, that's enough.
I got you. Excellent. And Jason, how about on the drums? Who are some of your heroes and influences as a drummer?
You know, as a drummer, growing up, putting my age, I guess, a little bit on it, but, you know, come on, Alive at Budokan, you got Bunny Carlos.
Right on, yeah.
You know, his drumming just blew me away in that live version when I was a kid. I just used to sit there and play along with the cassette of Budokan from beginning to end. Obviously, Eric Carr, man, when... Creatures of the Night album, you know, I Love It Loud video came out, and he's got the big two, you know, the silver drum set with the big two bass drums. That changed me right there. And, you know, those were two huge influences. And Carmine Appice, too. I love him. I actually got to know him and work with him over the years, too, and always been a big influence on me, too, of his career and everything. Everything from Rod Stewart to Ozzy. You know, Vanilla Fudge, all that stuff. I mean, he's got an amazing catalog that he's playing, you know, and he's great.
Have you heard
the... Those were a few guys, yeah.
Have you heard the Rated X record that he did with Joe Lanterna?
I did. I just heard it on... I think I was listening to Ozzy's Boneyard, and it came on. I'm like, right on.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Okay, well, we're going to talk about the album, Devil in the Lake. But before we do that, a couple just... rock questions for you guys. Jesse, you mentioned Lane from Alice in Chains. How do you feel about Alice in Chains continuing on without him, and what are your thoughts on William's voice?
Okay, so I was I was a non-believer, you know, like most people. You know, like, I remember when Alice in Chains, like, announced that they were coming back, I remember being like, nuh-uh, like, no way. Like, and I thought at first maybe just Jerry was going to sing, because, you know, like, that would kind of make sense. And then when I found out that William was going to be in, and I was a little skeptical at first, but I'll never forget, I was sitting in my buddy's basement when A Looking In View, that was the first song that they ever released off of Black Is Way to Blue. Like, that was, like, their teaser song. And I remember it being, like, it's, like, 8 minutes of just awesome. And I remember sitting there, like, with these really good speakers, and I was just sitting there listening to it, and I was blown away by it. And then Black Is Way to Blue came out, and it was incredible, and the entire album is amazing. And then I went and saw them live a few times, and to age myself a little bit, I never got the chance to see the Alice in Chains, like, with the original lineup. So it was kind of cool, because I thought from all my high school years that, you know, I would just never see Alice in Chains. So it was cool to be able to see them, but I will say, I hate to say this, but I will say I did pick up a copy of The Devil Put Dinosaurs here, and, you know, it's not what Black Is Way to Blue is.
Right.
It's not, like, I was really excited about new Alice in Chains, and now, it's not to say that I'm down on it, but I was pretty disappointed with that record, to be honest with you. And but his voice, you know, that was your question, what I thought of William's voice. You got to give credit where credit's due, man. That guy is a powerhouse. He's a great front man. And, you know, like, those are some shoes to fill. Like, you know, that can't be, you know, an easy task. That has to be incredibly daunting to know that every fan has every eye on you and is critiquing every little thing you do. And I think the greatest thing, to not talk too much, but the one last thing, the greatest thing about him is that every time I've seen him on stage, he does not try to be Layne Staley.
Right, yeah.
And definitely. I think, like, I just, you know, not to talk bad about anyone, you know, because I'm nobody, but I just went and saw Chester Bedingfield with STP,
mm-hmm.
and I was really disappointed because his
really?
Voice sounded great. But while he was on stage, like, I have seen him with Linkin Park, and with Linkin Park, he does, like, the foot on the monitor, in your face, power man, like, just front man. And when he was with SVP, he started doing all of Scott Weiland's, like, dancing and
really?
Crouching.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, with Alice in Chains, for me, the other thing that helped them in the live setting with William is just Jerry's vocals. I mean, here's a guy who did, like, you know, a fourth of the vocals back in the day.
And it's kind of like the Ozzy Osbourne Zakk Wylde effect. He sounds like Layne.
Yeah.
You know, like, when he wants to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So Jason,
anyway,
you mentioned one of my favorite drummers, a guy who I think gets overlooked a lot, Eric Carr from Kiss. Mm-hmm. You know, Kiss, we always think of the 70s era Kiss with Peter Criss, but you mentioned Eric Carr as an influence. Let's talk about Kiss and Eric Carr's time in Kiss. What are some of your favorite Eric Carr moments, if you will, some of your favorite songs or albums that Eric did with the band?
You know, I was lucky enough to actually see Eric Carr play live. I was lucky enough to see him. One thing he always wanted to do was a drum solo and have fire go all around him. And I remember reading that and going and seeing him. I don't think that was Asylum tour, but man, for his playing, I mean, Creatures of the Night was everything. And the one crazy thing is, like, when he joined Kiss, and I always remember reading about this, like, he came in, like, around, you know, like, Dynasty and the Elder, or and then, you know, it was a different style. He just wanted to rock. So when Creatures came out, he really shined. You know,
that's
I love that. And Animalize, I think it was great. One thing I was actually kind of thinking today, I was just thinking about Eric Carr. It's like, you know, I love Lick It Up. Great album. One, you know, just a hard hitting thing. But I really wish that Eric Carr had more say on that album back in the day, because it's kind of basic drumming. And I even heard that, like, I think I'm not sure, but I think even Paul Stanley might have done some drumming on that. I know he did some drumming on some of the albums, but I think it was either him or Gene. But I'm like, man, when you saw Lick It Up, or heard Lick It Up on the album, and then you saw it live, it's like, man, I wish he got to bring that live version to the album. So seeing him live was just a great thing, and the albums where he really shine, right. Like Animal Eyes. I mean, go back, Creatures of the Night. Those two right there, all day. I'll take that all day.
I have Animal Eyes on vinyl, like sitting in my living room right now.
Nice. After this, go put it on and blast it, dude, and listen to those drums.
There you go. Let's talk about your record. It's called The Devil in the Lake, and it's out. It's on iTunes. You can download it, guys. Is it on Spotify, too?
Yeah.
Cool. It's on Spotify, so you can go listen to it if you do your music on Spotify. And it's been out almost a year at this point, right?
Yeah. I think it'll be out a year in January.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it still sounds great and fresh, and I encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to go give it a listen. Who worked on the album with you? Did you have a producer, an engineer that you were working with, or was it all done on your own?
We did a lot of stuff on our own, like pre-recording stuff, and we went in with Brad Dosman, who recorded us and produced and everything. I mean, the guy, he worked us, and he made it what it was. He helped add a lot to it, but when we went in, we were 100% ready on everything. You know, we just demoed it, and you know, it was pretty painless, actually. I mean, we kind of took our time with it, because when we were recording it, there was no record deal on the table. There was no, we didn't have a time frame or anything. We just said, hey, let's take the summer and record this album. And basically, we took our time doing that until we got the record deal. And then they're like, hey, we need to have a couple more songs. So that was the only time that we rushed, is we threw on a couple extra tracks.
I gotcha.
But still, that was pretty much painless. We had those songs good to go already. And it was, they were just in the demo stage. Jeff and Jesse had the song Ghost in there. It was Ghost in the Mirror. And they wrote it in a day, and we recorded it in a day. It was that easy.
And I think You and I was like a really last minute addition, right, as well. And that was something we had demoed like a year before we even talked about making a record. We, you know, it was one of Jeff's good friends. He kind of set up the piano for us, and then I kind of had these lyrics I was just kind of messing around with, and I think Jeff or Jason or somebody was just like, "Yo, we need another song," and I was like, well, "What about that piano song we downloaded like a while ago?" And they were like, "Perfect, let's just do it."
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So that was it. Yeah,
I think I spent maybe like an hour or two in the studio on like a random Tuesday or something, just hammering out that song.
Nice.
Yeah,
good
came
stuff.
Easy.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast. What can we play for the Talking Metal listeners now that we've done some talking? Let's listen to some music. What do you want to play for the guys?
You know, I'm going to throw this out there because we've already had, you know, two songs have been on the radio, Who You Are and Man of God. But we are going to, we're doing another video in the next couple months before our next tour that we're looking to do in February, March. And that song's Change. And I really want people to hear that. And that's a strong one when we're on tour. That's been our biggest reaction. So I really would like to get that out there. And, you know, maybe people can write in or, you know, hit us up on Facebook or, you know, our website and let us know what you think about it. Yeah,
absolutely. Cool. All right. Thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate you joining us on the Talking Metal podcast. And right now, Emperors and Elephants with Change.
Look through these memories, these dust-covered walls. Read through my journal, hear my word, my call. Depict on the pages all the faces I met. Cause you're the one thing done right in a life of regret. Let it take you away to a place of higher ground. Cause the life, girl, I was lost between the sound. And I think it's
What you just heard was my interview with Emperors and Elephants vocalist and drummer Jason and Jesse, and that song right there was Change. Thanks for listening to Talking Metal, guys. I really appreciate it. It's been a great 2015. I can't wait to hang and talk with you guys in 2014. It's been a great 2014. I can't wait to hang and talk with you guys in 2015. Thanks for all your support. Thanks for all your love. Thanks for great numbers lately. Ever since 500, we've just been flying. It's been a steady climb since 2012, building back Talking Metal. And I'm having a blast. I'm having more fun than ever with this show. I love it. Check me out on Metal Raps. Check me out on One-on-One with Mitch LaFon, co-hosting with the one and only Mitch LaFon, one of the greatest interviewers in hard rock and heavy metal. Definitely check that out. It's all part of the Talking Metal Digital Network, One-on-One with Mitchell Fahn, Metal Raps, Talking Rock, Mars Attacks, and of course Talking Metal. All one big family. It's called Talking Metal Digital. Thanks, guys. Take care for now. Give me a like on Facebook, Talking Metal or Metal Raps, or friend me. It's facebook.com/mstriegel, M-S-T-R-I-G-L. Happy New Year.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.